11 times? 11 times? I asked incredulously. My friend Lee, not his real name, casually nodded while sipping his coffee. Yes, he'd been blown up by IEDs 11 times during his 2 tours in Iraq, fighting to keep open a road that Zarqawi and Al-Qaeda wanted to remain closed. 11 times his brain was concussed, shaken inside his skull like a ball inside a shaking glass. Yet here he sat in his fatigues at the McDonald's on Old 231, still a proud soldier. A soldier waiting to hear if he'd be deployed again, this time to Afghanistan, even after 11 times. He's 43, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and he was willing to go. This sense of duty, of pride, of sacrifice, was also foreign to me. I grew up in the Vietnam era. I didn't hear heroic stories about fighting off the Nazis or the North Koreans. I heard stories about soldier rebellions, dope, heroin, desertions, fragging, Tet, My Lai, secret bombing campaigns, and anti-war protests, even here at Purdue. I didn't know any soldiers personally. My only contact with them was through the images on TV or the list of Hoosiers killed in action in the newspaper. 2 of my brothers were of draft age. Although I was old enough to know about the draft, I didn't really understand what it could mean for them. Didn't understand that in a matter of months, they could be fighting, dying, in Vietnam. I remember the sense of relief in our house on draft lottery day when my oldest brother received a 347, his ticket to a safe civilian life. 2 years later, my other brother drew a 50, but thankfully was granted conscientious objector status because of his pacifist religious beliefs. Of course, there had been other wars since then, more popular wars, and many vets returning home, but I never knew any of them. I met Lee through his wife, who babysat our boys. He was gone that first year she watched them, deployed in South Korea, leaving her to raise 2 daughters and to run the daycare on her own. He retired from the Army and came back to Lafayette, but unable to find steady work, he re-enlisted. They moved down to Fort Campbell in Kentucky, and now we meet up with them every few years, usually at that McDonald's. That morning, he told us a lot of stories, mostly making fun of himself, like the time his parachute inflated on the ground and started dragging him roughly across a field to the amusement of his buddies. He managed to regain control, only to have it happen again to the greater amusement of his buddies. Or how he tried to hide a broken ankle so he can make his final training jump and thought he's going to pull it off until they broke into a double-time march and his stumbling and staggering gave him away. He listed his medals, but only after we asked, and didn't say how he got them. I heard the stories from someone else, of how he braved enemy fire to drag a wounded comrade back to safety, and how he charged into underbrush to hunt down insurgents who had fired on his patrol. The only time his voice clouded with doubt was when he talked about his concussions. They had already caused memory loss, and the doctor warned him that he was much more susceptible to early-onset Alzheimer's. And yet the Army was still considering sending him back into harm's way, and he was still willing to go. While that McDonald's has been torn down and is now just a distant memory, I still think about that morning with Lee, and think about him becoming a distant memory, another name in the newspaper, another casualty in the endless stream of those who have made the ultimate sacrifice, or how he could become a distant memory to himself, his past stolen away by Alzheimer's. I think about how much he's given up, and how little I have. I've never served on a jury, no less in the military. I consider it a sacrifice to spend my free time running my kids to soccer or band practice or music lessons, or walking the dog in the rain, all things Lee would have loved doing if not for serving overseas. And yet, I've never said thanks to Lee. Never thanked him for showing the kind of courage I could never show, for making the sacrifices I could never make, for risking his life to protect the freedom that I've never risked anything for. But there's really nothing I can do, nothing anyone can do, to thank him enough, to honor his service enough. No holiday, no handshake or hug, certainly no words broadcast on public radio. Maybe the best I can do is to promise Lee and his brother and sister soldiers to never forget their stories, never forget their sacrifices, and never let my respect for those still willing to go to fade into a distant memory.